seconds to go in this game. Third and one. Tannehill takes the snap. Handoff up the middle. McNichols gets the first down, but that'll be the final play. The Arizona Cardinals come into Nashville and absolutely pummel the Titans.
That was the final call from Dave Pasch on the Cardinals Radio Network on Sunday. Pummel is a good word.
Yeah, it is.
It was an apt description. It was the Cardinals' biggest opening day win since moving to Arizona. Now, they went stretches where they didn't win a lot of opening day games, but the 25-point deficit was by far their easiest victory, and it came against what most people believe is a good football team. I think there's been a seed of doubt planted about the Tennessee Titans because of how bad they looked, but the Cardinals were responsible for making them look that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, what does it mean for the Cardinals? They are one of the more talked about teams this week around the NFL because of not only the size of the victory, but some of the elements of the victory. When you shut down Derrick Henry, when you make A.J. Brown and Julio Jones pretty much non-factors, when
you're pressuring the opposing quarterback on 41% of his pass attempts.
When you have a player who has five sacks, two strip sacks, when you have a quarterback who's got five touchdowns, four passing, one running, there's a lot of people talking about the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Tuesday's the day that power rankings come out around the NFL, different outfits putting out their rankings, and there's a sampling of them that are out so far. Now, there wasn't a whole lot of movement on ESPN's power rankings. The Cardinals still rank number 12 on that particular ranking, up one spot. But one ESPN personality, Mina Kimes, she's got the Cardinals as the big riser this week.
For me, it's the Arizona Cardinals. I feel like the entire NFC West, frankly, moved up. But the Cardinals surprised me the most and really had the week's MVP in Kyler Murray and defensive MVP in Chandler Jones. Just absolutely electric on both sides of the ball. Surprising when it came to the play of the secondary, which I thought would be a problem. They held up really well against Tennessee.
They did, and a lot of people are taking notice. ESPN's got them 12. NFL.com had them low last week at 18, Vic. Mm-hmm. They're up to 14 there.
Okay.
Here's where it gets interesting. CBS Sports has the Cardinals moving up number four spots to number five.
Number five.
Yes.
Now, that's our guy, Pete Prisco, who had them, obviously, nine at the very beginning. And this is fascinating because you could see this coming. Going into week one, one of the big storylines from people, NFL analysts, were NFL staffs in different websites and publications, when they started talking to their talent and their content producers, found an incredible range of opinion on the Cardinals. Some people loved them, some people mm-hmm. not so much. They were found at the back end in the high 20s, 25 in some power polls. They were number nine in others and at a lot of places in between. All those power polls and all those people who had the Cardinals at the back end, they're all probably scrambling now.
Yeah. And power rankings very much. I mean, for somebody who produced, the power rankings or had a hand in producing the power rankings for ArizonaSports.com for a lot of years, it's very much a snapshot of the reality of what's going on. The most interesting one to me was on Yahoo Sports. Cardinals moved up 13 spots from number 19 to number 6. However, they are still the lowest ranked team in their own division at at number 6.
Wow. So four of the top 6.
There you go. If you want a
That's
snapshot.
High watermark for the NFC West.
Oh, my goodness. It's crazy.
Two-thirds of the best teams in the NFL are in one division.
They have San Francisco at 3, the Rams at 4, Seattle at 5, and the Cardinals at 6.
That's incredible.
Do you know, note, every team in the West won this weekend.
AFC, in both
AFC
conferences. Yeah, there's not a team in either conference in the West that has a loss now.
Yeah, I didn't know that about the AFC West. I suppose I should have.
And then there's the NFC North, who doesn't have a win yet.
Right. Oops. I think when you look at the NFC West after week one, Vinny, you look at Matthew Stafford in Los Angeles, and he delivered. So all the hype that followed Matthew Stafford to L.A., he looked really good. He was slinging it. Right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so that optimism is warranted. The 49ers, they were leading that game 38-10.
And almost let the Lions back in.
Well,
they did let them back in.
And you talk about a cautionary gambling tale. The line on that game, I didn't know this, somebody told me because they got hooked, was 8.5. And they closed.
And they won by 8.
After being up 38-10. That's good luck, people.
Kind of stuff that happened.
Yeah. Yeah,
good luck.
Yeah, good luck. But at that point in time, they were using Trey Lance, and then you've got the Cardinals' performance, which was really good, and the Seahawks were just very, very sturdy. You know,
they were.
This is,
and I don't think
I
don't think it's going to change anytime soon. You could text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now.
87 FM, Arizona's sports station. D-backs Daily. Brought to you by America Roofing, Arizona's number one roofer, online at AmericaRoofingCo.com. For a free estimate or 10% off any roof repair, that's AmericaRoofingCo.com.
Yeah, D-backs making their final trip to L.A. to take on the Dodgers, who have dominated them this year. Clayton Kershaw back on the mound for the first time since early July for the Dodgers, and lo and behold, it was the D-backs that broke through first in the first inning.
1-2 out, 0-2 pitch. And Rojas into center field. That's a base hit. D-backs break on top as Marte comes in to score. Stopping at second out. Bad throw. And that's going to advance the runners to second and third. Dodgers sloppy on that play. That's an RBI single by Rojas.
Yeah, Carson Kelly got to third safely on one of the worst throws from the outfield you'll ever see from Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
It was bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
But that was basically the highlight, because in the bottom of the first inning, the Dodgers struck back.
And a ground ball to second. On into right field, a base hit. A run will score to tie it. Turner goes on to third, and we're tied at one. RBI single by Corey Seager.
Now, Corey Seager getting the Dodgers on the board later in the inning. Justin Turner doing some damage, giving the Dodgers their first lead.
And the pitch from Gallen. And a line drive ripped into left. That's extra bases. And it could score Seager all the way from first. Rounding third, he's being waved home. Here he comes. The throw is not in time. A two-run double Turner and a 3-1 Dodger leader in the opening inning.
And then to cap things off, after they were leading 3-1, Justin Turner at it again.
And a high drive, deep left field. That one won't stay in the ballpark. Home run Turner, knocked in three tonight, 5-1 L.A. That's his 25th of the year.
Austin Barnes had an RBI double before that. That actually made it 5-1 to close the scoring. Another win for the Dodgers, 5-1 the final. Zach Gallen, 2-10 on the season.
What a...
Sorry, I'm just saying that.
You can't say the words "what a" on the show.
What a surprise! I thought at the very least, I expected 100 plus losses this year, but I thought that dude was. I thought he was.
It's been a rough season.
Yeah.
Three trips to the injured list.
Yeah, I know.
The win-loss record not where it should be. And he's had some stretches of good pitching. But, man, that's just been the story for the D-backs, who continue their series against the Dodgers tonight with Luke Weaver on the mound against Tony Gonsolin. 7:10 first pitch, 6:30 pregame here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. There's your D-backs Daily coming up next. Week one is in the books, and there is a lot to chew on league-wide. We'll do it next. Spickley and Murata, mornings. Tuesday edition of Bickley and Murata Mornings here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Dan Bickley, me, Vince Murata, Jared Carlin, Sarah Cazell with you until 10 o'clock when we hand things off to Wolf and Luke. It's finally over. NFL, again, it was a punctuation mark, an exclamation point, if you will, last night on week one of the NFL season in Las Vegas. Ravens and Raiders giving a lot of entertainment on Monday Night Football. But there was a lot of storylines to pick apart, to kind of absorb after week one. One of them that sticks out to me is I have no explanation for what we saw from Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in week one.
It was very, very odd.
They had to play a team, New Orleans playing away from home, a home game in Jacksonville because of Hurricane Ida. And Green Bay looked completely rudderless in that game, which is astounding. They had the least yards of any team. They scored 3 points and mustered 229 yards of offense with the reigning league MVP at quarterback.
Yeah, a couple things about this. Number one, the final score, if you're a Packers fan, it has to be alarming, because NFL teams generally don't get worked by 35 points when you have an elite quarterback nope. on your roster. That's the kind of score you expect from Alabama Mercer. You know what I mean?
Not that game was even closer.
Right, right. Not Green Bay, New Orleans. And so I think partially this is really a tribute to a great one-week coaching job by Sean Payton, who has dealt with a lot of turnover. They had to sign a lot of guys on the fly. They had to make a tough decision at quarterback. And they were really ready to play football. The Packers, after all of this stuff about the kissing and making up, and now they're in a better place, and Aaron Rodgers now is communicating with Brian Gutekunst, and all how that performance follows that offseason is slightly alarming. Now, Aaron Rodgers, in classic form, had to issue another kind of relax proclamation that he's done in the past.
I don't know how relaxing people can be in Green Bay right now.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of bad throws from Aaron Rodgers. There was just, yeah, that team did not look ready to play football.
Yeah, here was Aaron Rodgers after the game.
Well, you know, I felt like our energy was a little bit low. You know, it felt a little bit San Diego-ish from a couple years ago. We just kind of needed something to get going, and it was the same type of thing, long drives on their side and us not executing, so... You know, we had, I don't know, 10 plays-ish there. And, you know, it's 17-0, and we're in a two-minute mode on our third drive in the first half. So very disjointed possession-wise. We've been in games like that before where we've only had a couple possessions. I think we had one against Minnesota maybe last year where it was limited possessions in the first half. But I think we scored on all of our possessions, so that one felt obviously a lot better than this did.
Yeah, low energy from the game, low energy in the mm-hmm. quote from Aaron Rodgers.
he played the game like he didn't want to be there.
Yes.
And we all know from the offseason
that he doesn't want to be there.
I mean, that's the problem when you have an offseason and you have press conference after press conference where you say you don't want to be there. Mm-hmm. When you play like that and it looks like that, it's a problem.
Well, and you have to also wonder, is this indicative of a larger problem? Is there a disconnect between Aaron Rodgers and the rest of that football team based on everything that happened? And is that how you explain the lack of energy they showed? That does not look like a football team that feels they're building towards something. That almost felt like a football team waiting for an inevitable divorce.
It looked like it. They got a chance to wash it away. They got a Monday night game against Detroit in week two, but that was the definition of ugly. The Cleveland Browns, they're going to be an exciting team. Mm-hmm. They put up a lot of yards. They averaged over 8 yards per play against Kansas City. And, people are making the joke, Cleveland, you know, the Browns are going to brown. And they certainly did that. They had that game in hand until it wasn't in hand because their punter couldn't catch a perfect snap. And Baker Mayfield
wasn't in hand.
Baker Mayfield's last interception was inexcusable.
Yeah, those two plays are why people said, "Yeah, that's typical Browns for you. You get a punter who just bobbles an easy snap, and that allows Kansas City to complete their comeback. And then Baker Mayfield, who had played very well throughout the course of the day, mm-hmm. has a chance to win the game and." Basically throws the ball up out of desperation. Now, some people claim Baker Mayfield was trying to chuck that football out of bounds.
He got
chopped down at the ankles right when he released it, and the ball just kind of floated, and it went right into the hands of a Kansas City defender. But here's what I think about the Browns. The Browns are also becoming a national obsession for the hot take shows. Because of Baker Mayfield and because of the Cleveland audience, mm-hmm. because there is so much pathos and dysfunction with being a Browns fan, you know what I mean? It's so the Cowboys are always going to be A1 to the national debate hot take shows, but the Browns are like the new team that it's going to be a long year for Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield, it's a good thing he's got thick skin because he's kind of that easy target.
Yeah, he's divisive. Either people love him or people hate him.
He's the quarterback of a fully engaged sports market, a big market, and a frustrated, a worn down market.
Yeah. And he's a loud personality, so that makes him a target too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so when he fails the way he did at the end of week one against the Chiefs, there's going to be repercussions for that.
But there's also, though, there is a portion of the NFL fan base that does not want the Browns to be good, that they are comfortable with the Browns being a laughingstock, and that is how they always should be. Because especially if the Browns get good and my favorite team is not good, what the hell is going on?
That's a good point. Yeah.
So they're happy to see the Browns are going to brown kind of thing. That makes people feel good.
Yeah, because it could always be worse. We could be in Cleveland.
Well, the Browns have an opportunity to get healthy in week 2. They've got Houston at home.
Yeah. They're a good team. I mean, the Browns' defense is no joke. If Chandler Jones is the best pass rusher in football, Myles Garrett's got to be number 2. Shut up, Garrett!
Houston looked good.
Against Jacksonville.
I know, but we all thought Jacksonville.
Jacksonville's head coach is already looking at L.A. real estate. Couldn't be expected to perform. Right. It was an ugly start, not only for Urban Meyer. They get blown out by the Texans, who everybody thought was the worst team. That game was 27-7 at halftime. 37-21 was the final. So he loses his first game. In a battle of first-year head coaches, Philadelphia absolutely drilled Atlanta. Arthur Smith getting off to a bad start with the Falcons. Robert Saleh loses his first game with the Jets to Carolina. Although it was kind of, in the course of a game, it was kind of a resurgent performance by Zach Wilson. He started off really slow, but by the end of the game, he had a couple of highlight plays.
He played overall pretty well. Okay. All right.
I mean, they only scored 14 points against Carolina, but it's hard to win with rookie quarterbacks and rookie coaches together, and the Jets are going to find that out.
Well, and in Chicago, they're still
and the Jaguars.
Well, they're pestering Matt Nagy about what are you doing? Why are you sticking with Andy Dalton?
Did you watch any of that game?
Yeah, I did.
Didn't you feel that way though? That like you're giving away games at the beginning of the season for no reason other than you're stubborn and said Andy Dalton's going to be the starter.
Yeah, the Matt Nagy apologists in Chicago are claiming, not that there's a many of them, but they're claiming that Justin Fields doesn't know the game well enough now. So if you give him a play and the defense switches, he has no idea what to check into.
Mm-hmm.
He has no clue. Again, are the Bears going to win anything this year? No.
I don't know. I heard somebody on ESPN say they're going to the Super Bowl with Andy Dalton.
You're kidding.
Who is that? Sam Acho.
Oh, really? Well, that's right. That's right. He did make that ridiculous mistake.
Hey, Justin Fields committed.
Hey, Colt McCoy, number one signing of the offseason. Most important signing.
Justin Fields completed 100% of his passes and ran for a touchdown on his only carry. I mean, what are they waiting for?
What's the guy got to do?
They only lost by 20. Some takeaways from week 1 of the NFL. Coming up next, we've got your Rush Hour reboot. Spickley and Marotta Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Return of the Red Sea.
Yeah, it is time for our Return of the Red Sea winner. We are looking for you, Josh Eggleston from Mesa. Josh Eggleston, you've got 10 minutes to give us a call at 602-260-9870 to get your tickets to the Cardinals home opener and to qualify for the autographed Kyler Murray jersey. If Josh doesn't call within 10 minutes, we'll open up the phone lines to someone else to be our winner. If you didn't hear your name, you could still win by texting Red Sea to 620-620, but the clock is starting right now on you, Josh Eggleston from Mesa. You've got 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Rush Hour Reboot. Rush Hour Reboot. Getting you up to speed on everything happening in sports this morning. Brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. That's American-owned and American-dreamed Brooklyn Betting.
Take it away, Sarah Cazell.
All right, welcome into the Rush Hour Reboot, everybody. Every day, or at least most days, at 7:30 here on Bickley and Marotta Mornings, we get you caught up on the biggest headlines of the morning. We are now through the first week of the NFL season. Time for some power rankings. Here is Mina Kimes on ESPN saying the Cardinals, of all the teams in the league, took the biggest leap in her power rankings after Sunday's win over the Titans.
For me, it's the Arizona Cardinals. I feel like the entire NFC West, frankly, moved up. But the Cardinals surprised me the most and really had the week's MVP in Kyler Murray and defensive MVP in Chandler Jones. Just absolutely electric on both sides of the ball. Surprising when it came to the play of the secondary, which I thought would be a problem. They held up really well against Tennessee.
Okay, the NFL Nation Power Rankings on ESPN.com. They've got the Cardinals at number 12. Dan, Vince, where do you have the Cardinals in your own power rankings?
Number one.
In our hearts, on the field.
If you're not first, you're last.
Yeah.
If you're not number one, you're number two.
And if you're not that, you might be number three.
I don't know. It depends on how you would shape them, and I haven't sketched anything out.
Yeah.
But are you using your preseason ranking, which is largely based on last year, as your baseline, or are you taking it as a snapshot on who you felt was the most impressive? If you're doing it the latter way, then yeah. I mean, the Cardinals should be a top 10 team, no doubt about it, because they were very impressive in week one.
Yeah, yeah. And again, it's if you're doing it in the moment, obviously a couple of good teams like the Bills and the Packers would drop precipitously after week one. But I do think that this is indicative of just how well received this football game was and how stunned a lot of people were at how the Cardinals just utterly dominated the game.
Yeah.
And it really is a tribute to them. As I said it earlier, there's the Cardinals vowed to play more physical, and you can vow anything you want. It's another thing to deliver, and they did, and I think they really surprised Tennessee by punching them in the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Count myself among those who were stunned by how well the Cardinals plays. I definitely did not see that coming. All right, let's head to Las Vegas.
Blitz is picked up. Jones is open. Jackpot, baby! Vegas touchdown! This time, no doubt. Put it in the W column, baby. This one's over.
This one's over, baby. Was that good?
That was good. Your Musburger is on point.
Thank you. All I have to do is start hitting on all y'all's girlfriends, and we'll be in good shape. That's for another day. Mm-hmm. A wild ending to last night's Monday night football game.
That was a rare three drops in one sentence there.
Half your work for Friday is done, Jerry.
Yeah, it is.
Doing the impression, then I love your Musburger, and then the girlfriend. Beautiful.
We're happy to help. We're an efficient team, if anything.
We
here.
Are.
Last night, that was just a wild ending. I know we talked about it a couple segments ago, but that got me thinking, do you guys have a favorite chaotic ending to an NFL game? Is there any game that stands out to you? It's like, man, that was nuts.
Recency bias, the Hail Mary. I mean,
that certainly is not a bad one.
I mean, watching that game, and it was a weird year because we were all sitting at home watching it. Nobody was really at the game. There was a few fans that were sprinkled in. But you're thinking, man, this is a tough loss. You know, Josh Allen throwing that touchdown pass in the last minute. They played pretty well. How are they going to bounce back from that? And just to steal one away from, just snatch it from the jaws of defeat, that was pretty crazy.
The three of them jump out at me. When you say that, it triggered visceral reactions to games that I watched live and were blown away by the endings. The Music City Miracle ending was utter chaos. The Vikings playoff win over the Saints was unbelievable.
Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, getting behind that that was incredible. And that was such a combination of being a great play and such a defensive mess up that's really made. And then, of course, the Mike Bercovici jail Mary.
Oh, of course. Yeah, going back to what was that, 2014?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. That was
a classic.
That was a classic.
Absolutely. All right, moving on. Going back to the Titans-Cardinals game on Sunday, Mike Vrabel called out Julio Jones after the game for what he called a critical mistake and unnecessary roughness penalty by Jones early on in the game that turned 3rd-and-1 into a 3rd-and-16 situation for the Titans. Here is what Mike Vrabel had to say about Julio Jones after that game.
That's absolutely nothing that we coach or teach. So that would fall into the category of doing dumb that hurts the team right there in bold letters.
Okay. Calling out one of the bigger names in football, someone who is new to his team. Do you think he handled that correctly? How would you have handled that if you were in that situation?
That's big boy coaching right there is what that is. When you can call out a guy like Julio Jones for doing what he did, aptly turning a 3rd-and-1 into a 3rd-and-16, you've got the rest of the team's attention. Because, A, he's a newcomer to Tennessee, so this is kind of him saying, dude, I don't know who you think you are, but we don't tolerate that here. And secondarily, if you can be that real and honest and forceful with the star player, Bruce Arians did this stuff all the time.
Yeah.
It's a powerful statement.
I thought it was interesting considering the size of the star that Julio Jones is. But
yeah.
Julio Jones, even though he's new there, he could very well call it his head coach for not having his team ready to play in week one.
You could.
I mean, that was one play as opposed to a whole week's worth of preparation.
Well, that's very true as well.
I don't think he's going to go down that road, but I think Vrabel probably could have used softer language publicly and lit up Julio Jones more privately, but hey, that's just me.
Hey, if it gets the attention of the rest of the team, I guess there's something to it.
Yeah. But it's moments like that, and again, the Cliff's got a moment in the sun right now, so I'm not trying to rain on that proverbial parade, but that's what I'm talking about. Football coaches have to have that authority to talk and be really jerk faces to their team sometimes.
And credit to Byron Murphy for drawing that penalty on Julio Jones. Well
done. That
is
true. Okay.
Well done.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
There you go. There's your Rush Hour reboot. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Josh Eggleston. He took like 2 minutes to call in.
Yeah.
He claimed his tickets to the return of the Red Sea on Sunday against Minnesota. You'll have another chance. Listen for your name today at 1:35 with Wolf and Luke. And you can be a winner as well. But just saying, we're 2 for 2 here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. Coming up next, a Tuesday edition of Mustache.
Not a mustache.
Yeah, that's straight ahead here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Murata Mornings on 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station.
Mustache.
Not a mustache.
A mustache, a mustache, a mustache. Big mustache, thick mustache. My mustache, your mustache. Say the word mustache. A mustache, a mustache. Now we both have said mustache. A mustache, a mustache. If you only got a mustache.
That's your mom and she's got a mustache.
All right, it is that time of week for America's fastest growing facial hair related quiz sensation, mustache.
Not a mustache.
And this is what will happen for anyone new to the game. I will play a soundbite. Could be from a movie. Could be from an interview. Could be from a TV show. It could be a song. And Bickley and Murata will compete by telling me whether the person talking or singing has a mustache or does not have a mustache. Then they could get a bonus point if they correctly identify the person. First one to 10 points wins. Who won last week?
We were just discussing that during the break.
I've got a two-week winning streak.
I think it was Bickley.
Wow.
Yeah. Bickley's on fire.
Well, Bickley, as the reigning two-time defending champion, would you like to go first?
I will go first, yes.
Okay.
Oh, Bick.
You will go first, and you will go first with this musical clue.
Just come with me and we can share.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
That's
goodness.
A tough one right off the bat.
Would that be, I'm going to take a wild guess, would that be DeBarge?
Oh!
Yeah, baby.
Okay.
One point there. Mustache.
Yes.
You're infallible, young fella.
Throwing down the gauntlet.
Absolutely.
Man.
Yep. DeBarge with a mustache. Two
or as
points,
I referred to them back in the day as garbage.
I haven't heard that song in forever. All right, Vinny.
Yeah.
That is Justin Timberlake.
That is correct.
Not a mustache.
That is incorrect.
Ooh.
Oh, he has a beard, a full beard
in
that video and that era of music.
Oh, I've dug myself an early hole.
Right off the bat, the door is open. And boy, they're not all as high falsetto as those two clues, I will tell you at back.
Well, that's good.
All right, Dan?
Okay.
Sir, you're out of order.
Out of order. I show you out of order. You don't know what out of order is, Mr. Trask. I'd show you, but I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too blind. If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
That's great. Al Pacino, not a mustache.
That is correct. That is from Scent of a Woman. All right.
Are we sure that wasn't comedian Craig Gass?
Let's do a good one. All right, Vinny?
Yes.
In my book, I know you are, but what am I?
I explained that when love goes wrong,
nothing goes right.
Yes. And nothing short of a masterpiece.
So do you think you can come back with us to Toronto in the team jet?
It's a date.
Is it now?
Wow. This kitten's gonna whip.
Meow.
Oh, man. You are including a clue from one of the worst movies ever made.
I agree.
That is Mike Myers as the love guru, and he had a mustache.
He did have a mustache. Wow. That is correct.
Thank goodness that was your clue and not mine.
I'm ashamed that I know that.
Well, never be ashamed.
4-3 Bic going to the top of the third.
All right. Dan?
Mm-hmm.
When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's all right. I'm hooked on a feeling.
Oh, man. I know the song very well. I don't.
I can't think of it either.
Okay, another wild guess. War.
It is not War.
No, not a mustache.
It is not a mustache.
Okay. So you pick up the point to get
who
to
is
five.
That?
It's
that
Blue
is,
something, right?
It's Blue Suede.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's Blue Suede. Yep. Which means
these are tough clues today.
Vinny?
They really are.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show.
Yeah. Never mind.
Never mind that.
Go, cat, go, but don't you step on my Blue Suede.
See what he did there? Blue Suede. Even though the band, I believe, is Blue Suede.
Oh, I think you're right. It is Blue Suede. It is Blue Suede. You're right. It is Blue Suede.
That is Elvis Presley, not a mustache.
And that is a tie game at 5-5. All right. Dan.
Do you like apples?
Yeah.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them,
Max? I don't know.
Oh, I'm surprised.
That sounds very old-timey. I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, mustache or not a mustache?
Mustache.
Not a mustache. Matt Damon from Good Will Hunting.
Oh, okay.
I guess if you haven't seen that movie in a long time, that'd be hard to identify. All right. Vince.
I can retake the lead here.
Oh. Let me tell you something, my friend. Hope is a dangerous thing. Hope can drive a man insane.
That is Morgan Freeman, mustache.
That is Morgan Freeman.
Not a mustache.
Not a mustache.
That's from
Shawshank Redemption.
Wow.
Wow, this is a grind it out game right here.
This is a slog.
6-5.
6-5. All right, we only have a couple more here. Running out of time. Dan.
No clue, not a mustache.
It is not a mustache. That's The Offspring. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
I'm surprised, too.
All right. Vince.
Pick appreciates good music.
You don't like The Offspring?
No.
Of you?
I like my own Offspring. I think the band sucks.
Okay. Thank you. Well said.
All right.
Very well said.
I'd like your opinion on this band, then.
Not a yes, sir. Not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold. Have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
Thunder, thunder, thunder,
thunder. Feel the thunder.
Imagine Dragons, not a mustache.
Imagine Dragons.
Mustache.
Mustache. Oh, my goodness. This is a bad. So where do we stand right now?
7-6, but my lead.
All right. I'll do two more clues here, and then we'll go to a tiebreaker real quick.
If we need one. Yeah.
Okay. Dan?
John Gambatoro.
That's Max Kellerman, and yes, a mustache.
That is correct.
Oh, you put the pressure back on.
All right.
That is one fresh clue.
That is clue. All right.
Yeah.
Vinny?
Yeah.
Joe Gambadoro.
That is Dan Le Batard. And a mustache.
Vinny wins.
Well done.
Good job, Vinny. Good job there. You deserve it, man.
The most defensive struggle we've ever had.
That is an epic game of mustache.
Not a mustache.
Not a mustache. Coming up, when Kyler Murray plays like he did in Nashville, people take notice. More in the Bickley Blast straight ahead. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.